Good morning and welcome. It's lovely to see you here today. Thank you for braving the heat. I'm sure that some people would have rather stayed in their air conditioning, so we really appreciate your attending this morning. We also welcome today Kimber, who are joining us after a few weeks of not joining us, so it's lovely. We welcome you. We had a lovely email from them, so it's lovely to see that they're back with us today. I want to welcome those people, whether you're here in the church or whether you're worshipping at home or whether you're going to take this service at a later time. You are part of our worshipping community and you are very loved and valued. The last two Sundays, we have lit the candles of hope and peace. We light them again to remind us that their glow continues. We light the third candle of Advent. It's the candle of justice. We don't usually include justice, do we? But in today's world, justice has become so important. So we celebrate justice, foreshadowed by the birth of our Lord Jesus. This candle of justice symbolises a light shining in unjust times. While the darkness of overlordship crushes victims, we celebrate the restorative justice which unites the human family. Let us pray together. God of justice and truth, your presence is revealed in those who care. Help us to celebrate Jesus' birth and make our hearts ready to reawaken our confidence in you. In the name of Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. And today we continue with the song that we've been singing each week of Advent, Comfort, Comfort, All My People, adding what is quite a new verse for us, so it will be lovely to sing that together. Let us stand if you're able and sing, Comfort, Comfort, All My People.
Oh,
as we celebrate the symbols of Christmas, we acknowledge that we worship on the unceded land of the Kaurna Nation, who together with all First Peoples created a sophisticated societal system designed to live in solidarity with each other and with nature. We look forward to a new day when their voice and wisdom is heard and we can affirm the solidarity of our common humanity.
Now, Jan, don't go away, yes. We've been adding the symbols that relate to the themes of our journey through the symbols of Christmas. And Jan is going to add three more to the Christmas table, a Christmas tree, I should say. She's already added the two from last week, which we didn't add. They're already there. So, Jan, what's that one?
This one is the manger.
Okay. And this one?
This one is the presentation of Jesus.
And this one?
Is the circumcision of Jesus.
And the thing about symbols, they're not too literal. They are symbolic. And we have to thank Jan for putting these together, and I think Austin has also helped us with these symbols as well. Is that right?
Mainly,
Jan says mainly herself. I'm just going to comment on this picture because, you know, it wasn't until breakfast this morning I was thinking about this picture and I thought, there's something familiar about it. And it clicked. I was present and I assisted with the birth of a baby on a train in the station of Dada in Bombay. It had been crowded coming in, I think, from Pune. And there were little compartments. The compartment I was in was filled with people of all. And I knew there was this, sitting opposite me, this woman who was pregnant and clearly poor. And as the train put into the station, she started her delivery. And everybody in the compartment fled. And here is this male, white person, and she says, more or less with gesture, because she didn't speak English, "Help me." And the baby was born. Very, very quickly, and I had to assist with this child to pick it up with all the placenta and everything hanging around. And at that time, the railway system had actually midwives employed, because babies obviously got born on trains, and by then the midwives came in to assist. But I always remember the joy that she experienced when she received the baby in her arms. And of course, and I realised, of course, that she was a Dalit. You might say, what's a Dalit? They're the lowest caste in India, sometimes called untouchables. Gandhi called them Harijans, which meant children of God. But then I think the term Dalit is now the one that pertains. So I thought of that at breakfast. That memory came back to me at breakfast this morning. Let's now sing our first hymn or carol as an act of praise. Child in the manger, infant of Mary, outcast and stranger, Lord of all.
Thank you.
These words from the Gospel of Luke. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in the manger because there was no room for them in the inn.
Today's overarching word for our symbols is solidarity. The symbol of the inn and the manger, it just takes one verse to capture the imagination and become the centerpiece of the nativity scene down through the ages. Carols have seared this imagery into our brains. Away in a manger, no crib for a bed. Once in Royal David's city stood a lowly cattle shed where a mother laid her baby in a manger for his bed. And while not in the text, we have ox and ass before him bow, and he is in the manger now. How can these images, set in the distant past, come alive to stir our faith, widen our horizons and give meaning to life in the 21st century? First, let me say that I'm not going to try and fuse the two different Lucan and Matthew stories into one. Some want to rationalise Matthew's stories where Jesus is born in a house, not a manger, by saying that the inn was really an outer room in a rooming house. No, I for one accept that these are two versions telling of the significance of the incarnation. I'm not interested in explaining why one version differs from the other. I am interested, however, in the integrity of Luke's story as story and how his imagery conveys deep meaning of Jesus, Messiah, whose destiny was to liberate the oppressed and open the way of life for all. And clearly, born in an animal's feeding trough is a very powerful of solidarity with the humble and excluded. So, solidarity, what does it mean? Now, I kind of remember that solidarity was a favourite song for socialists, sometimes called communists, in a previous age. I think they had a favourite song and slogan called Solidarity Forever. Well, forget that. Solidarity means being alongside and at one with where parties are joined in a common purpose. The inn and the manger add poignancy because it refers to the purposes of God being at one with, in solidarity with, the heartfelt desire of humans, especially to include those on the outer, the excluded, those pushed aside and who exist by making do with second best. Now, I add this picture somewhat reluctantly. Why? Because a good reason for being here and being together at worship, wherever you may be, and welcome to the people at Kimber, especially today, you come here to be lifted up, above your cares and fears. And this picture graphically reminds us of the suffering of others. But as we are the ones called to herald the ways of peace, we cannot ignore the trauma of the present suffering in the world. In Bethlehem's occupied West Bank, the Lutheran Church decided that its Christmas nativity scene would have the baby Jesus in a manger of rubble and destruction, this picture, to reflect the reality of Palestinian children living and being born today. This story from a year ago is authored by Catherine Baker and Shade Safi from the New York Times, who wrote, "The plight of an estimated 50,000 pregnant women in Gaza evokes the nativity story depicted in Christmas pageants all around the world. Some 5,500 Gazan women are expected to give birth during Advent. Sarah is one such. She and her family were evacuated to the southern part of the Gaza Strip, travelled by car, foot and donkey, and picked their way over rubble-strewn roads congested with more than 1 million other exhausted and frightened travellers. Because of the chaos, they had to move 6 times during intense bombardment. They had no electricity, running water, or heat, and it's bitterly cold at this time of the year, and only an open fire for cooking. When Mary and Joseph arrived in Bethlehem from Nazareth, they couldn't find anywhere to stay until an innkeeper offered them the use of his stable. For many pregnant women in Gaza, there is literally no room at the inn. They give birth in cars and on the street. In carols passed down through the generations, the night of Jesus' birth was silent, and the sky was filled with brightly shining stars. In Gaza, the night is not silent. The sky is bright with explosions, and toxic smoke obscures the stars. Wise people, such as international human rights monitors, cannot check on conditions because they are barred by the Israelis. Shepherds are nowhere near, as they have had to abandon their flocks. Sarah is a Christian with unshakable faith who said, 'I trust he will always be there for me.' In this moment of war, may there be a gift of solidarity, of heavenly peace for the newborns of Gaza." Now for something different. Animals in the manger. This manger scene is also from the Lutheran Church in Bethlehem on the occupied West Bank. As noted above, paintings and songs about the Nativity often show farm animals crowded around the manger, but they're not in the text. No. But they represent added symbols to extend the meaning of a baby born in a manger. The inn was not an inn such as in the story of the Good Samaritan, but probably a downstairs place where animals lodged when not out in the fields. Nevertheless, popular depictions have animals present, and the ox and ass are rich symbols. They represent all creation coming to receive peace from the Anointed One. Remember, Adam and Eve dwelt with the animals in the garden. All the animals came to Noah in pairs, and the prophet Isaiah said that in the new creation, all creatures will dwell in peace. The wolf will lie down with the lamb, and a little child will lead them. In the Old Testament, this pairing of ox and ass represented the joining of extremes. The ox is a clean animal representing Israel, while the ass is an unclean animal representing the Gentiles. Do not plough with an ox and a donkey joined together is one of the long list of purity rules. Thus Jesus yokes together Jews and Gentiles in his body, the ox and ass side by side, symbolizing how this child will bring solidarity between Jews and Gentiles. These two animals also signify how all humans can live in a solidarity which transcends the polarities of entrenched difference. May it be so. And we shall sing, "Born in the night, Mary's child, a long way from your home."
Confession. Let us pray. Dear God, you call us to love as you love, care as you care, seek justice, mercy, and truth in a world that has yet to feel the warmth of your embrace. But we fail to hear your call, draw back from those in need, say nothing when we see injustice. Become invisible. Forgive us, you whose love is better than life, for whose grace extends to all. Forgive us and enable us to be the people we could be, that your name might be on the lips of all people. Amen. And now our declaration of forgiveness. By your grace, we are forgiven. In your peace, our lives are lived. By your touch, we know healing. And in your strength, we are made whole. Through the birth and death of your Son, let us remember our sins are forgiven. Amen. And now let us share the peace. Peace be with you. And share it with the people around you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. And also with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you.
And we continue reading
from the Gospel of Luke. After 8 days had passed, it was time to circumcise the child, and he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. When the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, "Every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord." And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit, it rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. This is the word of the Lord.
My first reflection really was reflecting on the excluded. And I thought about this one, and I think it has to do with the solidarity with the included. Now, this story is longish, so I will attempt to be shortish. And I see other dimensions of solidarity emerging here in these stories. First, Mary's purification, required of all mothers in an age when female blood was deemed impure, and Jesus' circumcision are physical acts, or his at least, a physical act performed by parents, symbolising the future role of Jesus. He is marked on the body, signifying that he is human, a male, and a member of the Jewish faith. This powerful bloodletting demand on the body of a vulnerable baby anticipates that he will turn the act of blood being shed into a disclosure of costly love, willing to forgive those who do and do not know what they are doing. The picture on the screen depicts the presentation of Jesus in the temple. And I think all of us, perhaps almost all of us here, but hopefully not all watching, can identify the characters. They are old. They are also nobodies. Now, I'm not necessarily equating old age with being nobodies. However, Simeon and represents the wisdom and insight that is born from patient, long-held hopes that the day would come when a light would shine for the Gentiles and Israel will be redeemed from the oppression of foreign powers. I'm reminded of a quote from Henry David Thoreau, which, oddly enough, I first saw on the back of a toilet door when dining with friends 50 years ago. I remember it because it was the very night of Cyclone Tracy. And the quote is, and this was on a big poster, "Only that day dawns to which we awake." For me, Simeon and Anna suggest another dimension of solidarity which can be easily dismissed. That is, including and giving credence to the wisdom and hopes of the elders in our society. They were awake to the dawn, Simeon and Anna, awake to the dawn of liberation. Alongside the uncertainty, shock and horror of what's happening in our world, there are those who never give up. And I hope that describes us. Finally, did you note that Simeon brings us back into the real world when he said that this child is destined for the falling and rising of many, to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed and a sword will pierce your own soul too. Something more for Mary to ponder on. But a reminder that no one can finally hide from the truth of having to come to terms with both reality and promise. I am inspired by First Nations leader Thomas Mayo when he launched his book earlier this year in the Burnside Town Hall. And the book's title is Always Was, Always Will Be, expressing the hope that despite rejection, the long-awaited hopes of the old people will eventually dawn, the day to which he and others remain awake. So friends, may your personal longings and hopes be kept alive, for the coming generations need the witness of those who never give up. The Christ child's birth anticipates how God is both alongside and within us to proclaim the new world of hope, peace, justice and love. This birth is an act of solidarity. God is with us. Amen. And we're going to sing a hymn. Now the tune may not be well known, so Gil, I'm just wondering whether you play the whole tune first as an introduction before we sing the first verse. Not the powerful, not the privileged, not the famous in the land, but the no ones and the needy were the first to hold God's hand.
Not the powerful, not the privileged.
Dedication. Let us pray. To you, O Lord, we bring our lives, troubled, broken, or at ease, a sacrificial offering for you to use. Take away our selfishness and teach us to love as you loved. Teach us to share love with friends and strangers. Take away our sense of pride and show us the meaning of humility. Teach us to walk humbly with our God. Take away our blindness and show us the world through your eyes. Teach us to look for beauty in all things. Take away our greed. Help us to give freely of our gifts of money and service. Teach us to give as you gave. Show us your ways, teach us your paths, that we might walk with you more closely, our hand in your hand, our feet in your feet footsteps, and from the baby in a stable to eternity. Amen. I hope that you've received your notices either online or as you came in the door this morning. There are a couple of things I'd like to highlight. The first is one of our friends is missing today. Rhonda is in hospital, for those who don't know. She's in hospital in Melbourne. So we would really appreciate your prayers for Rhonda. She's quite concerned that she's in Melbourne and we're carrying on here without her. And so please pray for Rhonda. We are not sure what's wrong. She's having tests. They're thinking it's her heart. And so we think also of all those people who are sick and need our prayers during this week, especially with Christmas coming, a time when we like to be with family and friends. A mention of tomorrow night's blue service. Please come along if you're able, a time to gather together in hope and comfort. You're invited to join us at 7 p.m. and it's followed by supper. How's this? This market that we kept on saying, and it's only a mini market, has now raised $10,420, a very good mini market. Thank you to everyone who participated and helped. And now, just a quick notice about Advent coming up. Advent 4 next week, Christmas Eve on Tuesday at 7 p.m. and Christmas Day on Wednesday at 9:30. Mark those in your diary, please. And now our prayer of the people. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, let us pray for people living with war, where there seems to be no way to end the conflict and violence in our time. We pray that you would teach us, O Christ, to prepare the way. We pray for people living with homelessness, poverty, and despair, where we can see no way to provide for the needs of all people. We pray that you would show us, O Christ, how to prepare the way. We pray for people who are marginalised, outcasts, alone, afraid, where they can find no way to work together for justice. We pray that you will change us, O Christ, until we prepare the way. We pray for people who are hungry, cold, living without their basic needs met. Perhaps today we should also say hot, when we are unable to believe in any way to live a simple, responsible and mindful life. We pray that you would inspire us, O Christ, to faith that prepares the way. In a world where we are tempted to see so many of our challenges as dead ends, we pray for a new vision, a new heart, and a new commitment to prepare the way for your reign, your grace, your shalom, and for the liberation, justice, and peace that you bring. Let us pray together now the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And now let us sing the Workers' Carol. The words of the first verse are quite interesting. Coldly the night winds winging, softly the shepherds singing. Listen, you warring people, Mary's child is born. No room but in a manger. Come, O lovely stranger, born among the cattle, Lord of the Christmas morn. Let us stand if you're able and we'll sing together.
The shadow.
go into the week inspired by the stories of the Christ child. Be lifted up beyond your cares, for the grace of God in Christ is sufficient for you. Be blessed by being counted in as a beloved member of the human family. Be blessed by remembering your ancestors and their legacy. Be blessed by cherishing the times when you have been a blessing to others. Amen.